Today is Thursday, March 21st, and you're listening to the Beer Temple Podcast. Welcome to the Beer Temple Podcast. You couldn't tell by
you read
that
my face.
That fade. Yeah. I'm Mike Schlau, your co-host from Is Was Brewing. I'm here with your other co-host
and producer,
surprisingly, fade master producer of the day, Chris Quinn.
Not my best effort, but I'm okay. I've been better.
Honestly, I didn't hear anything wrong with it, but I saw your face and I was just like, I couldn't keep it together.
I'm not a professional. That's kind of the face I made for all of you out there. So
yeah, we're here recording on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Not our typical record day.
I missed it. I forgot about it. You called me. I was playing video games at home with my family sitting there. And and then came running over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize for that, but here we are. Thanks to everyone who's listening. Thanks to everybody. And thanks to Lumpin' Radio for having us on. Thanks to everyone who's been listening via wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate it. And thanks for the reviews. Keep them coming. Keep the letters coming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll read some letters. We'll see. We'll see how the show goes.
We'll see how it goes. We got a lot planned for
today. We have a lot planned. We may or may not have thought Matt Brynjolfsson was coming on and realized that we had scheduled that 2 months early. We're not supposed to say how much of idiots we are, but I just did, I guess. It's me, but whatever.
I mean, if anything, the show shows how the podcast sausage gets made pretty often.
Yeah, I mean, we had something planned, to be fair, but that's why we did it on a Thursday instead of a Tuesday. And now I'm all out of sorts. Well, and
I also
Serge couldn't make it then. And
I did get a text from a semi-regular guest on Tuesday asking if she was going to be on the podcast that night. And so I was like, I didn't even know you thought you were going to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
So we're really crushing it.
We do have a sheet, but
this is an award-winning podcast from Mike Schlau's Best Podcast Awards.
Yeah, I kind of messed that
up. We came in third, though, which was kind of messed up by me.
Yeah, that is messed up of you.
I mean, Rates and Barrels is great.
But don't worry. When it comes, come Q4 when they're giving out the Beer Writers Awards, then we'll be hitting our stride.
If we remember to enter,
true.
We might.
Every time we've ever remembered to enter, we've won. So we're batting a thousand.
Hell yeah.
Now, if it's how many times did you forget or remember just after the deadline closed, then we're not batting as great.
You lose 100% of the awards you forget to submit for.
That is, I mean, I am living proof of that.
Same.
So, but there's been some, so we've been away for a few weeks, and there's been some news. The March Mildness occurred.
Mm. It did.
Yeah, it did. It did.
How'd it go?
Let's just say that the Golden Sparkler is residing in the Beer Temple
let's
for the
go.
Next year.
Oh, let's go.
Yes. So we were triumphant. I will say I was absolutely shocked by how many people came out and drank mild.
I mean, I was here on Friday, maybe.
Yes.
And it was all milds on the bar.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the funniest thing to like motivate people to come in of all the programming you guys do. That it was asses to elbows at the bar. Everyone drinking dimple mugs of mild.
Of mild.
Yeah.
From cask. Yeah, we had three casks for the event. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And let me also just say, we have the back room, the Fox Room, open. Studio BT is open. We usually block it off, so it's going to be a little bit louder than normal. So sorry for that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So as for March Mildness, yeah, we had three casks that I dropped off at Forest and Main. They filled them and then sent them back out. And I was like, okay, I mean, maybe we'll go through two and then we'll have a third or something like that to, you know, play with in the following weeks. And I got a little nervous when we tapped our third cask on Friday night. I was like, oh boy.
Ruh-roh.
Big shout out to, because then I'm like, I got to find more cask mild. That was a flaw in the plan. Is what if? Turns out not the easiest style to just find.
No.
Rev had just...
They had just casked them, but they were not ready yet.
They weren't ready yet.
I was there the day, maybe the day after they casked them.
Yeah, they weren't ready yet. But big shout out to Phase 3. They did have one.
Dang.
I had to drive out to Lake Zurich and pick it up. That's far for people who don't know.
It's pretty far.
Which would have included me the moment before I got in the car to drive there. Yeah, it was like almost an hour each way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the last cask kicked. I mean, as I was blocks away, I got a text like, hey, it kicked. What do we do? I was like, I'm minutes away. you know, hearkening back to the Hops and Glory episode that we just had. When, you know, how does the rocking of the cask IPA affect it? How does the journey? Well, we certainly found that out with the mild, because it literally went from being jostled in the back of my van to being poured in 5 or 6 minutes.
Wow, that's
no
fresh.
Stillage. I mean, not how you're supposed to do it. People at the White Horse in London would have...
that rung you out.
Probably shat their pants.
Yeah.
Shat their britches.
We should probably write these down for surgery.
Well, whatever. And, yeah. So, and we kicked that cask then in like 2 hours. I mean, it was just like...
People had the fever, baby.
It was just like feverishly hand-pulling these milds. So then we had to go to... Then we had an Irish... stout, a dry Irish stout that was 4%, and the numbers started to slow down. People wanted mild, even though there's a 4% stout. They wanted mild.
So I came here again that week,
yeah,
on like Saturday, I think.
Yeah,
and I knew already that you were out of mild, and I was still just like, I was like disappointed, like I can't have mild.
I know,
but I still got the cask just to keep the numbers go. Just right. Goose those numbers, baby.
Exactly. So we ended up pouring. We got into the 400s. So
and what was like roughly the final score?
I think it was like 450 to 360 or something like that, or 300 and I think we're about 100 ahead of them. Which is over a full cask.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, man. I would have thought we had... I thought maybe we would have done 100, 150.
Yeah.
Maybe like 50 a day. That seems like a lot to me.
That does. I mean, of a...
Of a cask mile?
Yeah, that's a lot.
That seems like a lot.
Now, I did just Google the population of Ambler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's not quite. Let's put it this way. If I said over under 7,000 and you picked the over, you'd lose.
That's right. It's 6,803 according to the 2021 data.
It's a very small town.
So there are probably more people that live in Avondale. Than they live in.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the math. Chicago has a 397 times advantage.
Now, to be fair, it's a much bigger city.
Right. Nobody's coming from the South Side to drink mild.
You don't know that.
It's true.
There probably were at least one person who came from the South Side to drink mild.
Probably one.
If you came from the South Side to drink mild,
well, there's probably people who came from outside Ambler. I would imagine.
No chance, dude.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe next year, we do a leaderboard and we have several places compete for the golden sparkler.
Who else can we trick into this?
Well, I think that there is apparently March Mildness was not invented by Forest and Maine. It was invented by another place, I think out west more, maybe Colorado or California or something like that.
Hogshead, maybe?
No, it wasn't Hogshead. I would have remembered that, but somebody else. So, yeah, or maybe, I mean, who knows? Whoever wants, you know? I mean, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now, you got to beat us, I say.
That's right. The best.
So maybe we can get Colin from Meeting House in Philly to do it. They would, sure. You know, probably do. They have a hand pull, so they could do pretty well on that.
That's the thing. Who still has hand pulls?
Right. Ooh, does it have to be on hand pull?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we couldn't, like, have two different milds, one on the bar top, one on hand pull.
But I guess bar top would be it. It has to be cask mild.
Oh, yeah, it has to be cask.
But if they're, like, flying, if the velocity is anywhere near what you guys were doing, to put, like, a five-gallon pin on the bar.
Oh, my God, that'd be hysterical.
it'd be done. Yeah. 60 pours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we are the champions of
friend.
Yes. Bam. Yeah, we are the champions of March Mildness. But good on Forest and Maine. They were awesome and it was a good time. I think they heard you. They've heard you by now.
I was just like giving some background music.
Oh, okay.
For your victory speech.
I thought, so before it should have been, we will stomp you, you know.
Yeah, we will rock you.
Yeah, we will rock you, yeah.
And then another one bites the dust. Another a lot of good Queen songs about winning.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So, yeah, that happened. I was in England.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cask news. This is going to be a cask-heavy
It's a cask
episode.
Ep.
Yeah, it's a cask ep, a classic cask ep.
Classic cask ep.
So I was drinking more mild on cask then, mm-hmm. and bitter on cask.
So
I had some brown ale on cask. I had a porter on cask.
Milkshake IPA on cask.
Yep, had a bunch of them on cask. Whole bunch of stuff. I went to a place that had both a sweet bitter and a dry bitter.
Milkshake bitter?
Yeah, that was the sweet bitter, the milkshake bitter.
Lactose bitter.
The lactose bitter.
On cask.
Yeah. A sweet bitter. Now that's an interesting. That's like a black IPA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a cold IPA.
It is a,
IPA.
It is an interesting use of language.
Sweet bitter.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes bittersweet things, though, right?
That's true.
They're just going to have
bittersweet. They should. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet bitter. Makes
sweet
more
bitter.
Sense. Yeah. Yeah.
So why did you go to England?
Well, Mike Siegel,
friend
of the pod, from Goose Island, said he was going to be there, and we had talked about how we should just go to London sometime together, and because he loves London.
We should just run away to London, Mike.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone. And so that was the original plan. I was going to leave Thursday night, get there at like 9:10 in the morning on Friday.
Just start banging bitters.
Yeah, London. Friday, Saturday, leave Sunday. My wife thought I was crazy. Just like
that
literally a weekend.
It's not even enough time to feel jet lagged.
Right. Just get back and then, hey, it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I have used the go on a bender technique for fighting jet lag.
Hmm.
And it works pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the plan.
Yep.
Then he was going to be up in Burton doing some stuff, and there was a change of his plans. So then he ended up going to this place called the Black Country in England. And he was like, do you want to come? I'm going to be there for 2 days. Do you want to extend the trip a little bit? I was like, nah, not. I mean, I don't know. And Then he said, well, it's considered like the Franconia of England. And he started sending me, he sent me a Pete Brown blog post about him having gone there. And then he sent another one about this area and these like legendary ales there.
Is that where that band Black Country New Road is from? Do you know them? Post-rock band? Okay.
Are they English?
They are English.
Maybe. I mean, it's called the Black Country, and that's what they refer to it there as.
Huh. That band name makes a lot more sense now.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. I interrupted.
No, it's okay. And then I was still like, meh, I don't know. And then I read the articles, and I was like, whoa, this place seems... pretty crazy, like a time capsule. And apparently, like, you know, since there's tied houses there, you know, it's at their pubs and maybe a few other local pubs, but like they're in like a, I don't know, 10 or 15 mile radius around this place, and like that's it. And like most people from England have never even had it. And they're these like, you know, kind of legendary ales. And I was like, well, all right, fine. I'll extend the trip by 2 days.
He gave you some catnip, and you're like, let's play.
Yeah, and I took. Yeah. I took it. So then I flew out. He was already out there. And I landed. I tried my darndest to sleep on the plane.
What time did you take off here?
10:15 at night. I took
like a 7-hour flight.
Some like Tylenol PM, had a double Maker's Mark in the airport, and
that technique doesn't work so well on the airplane, I found. I've tried to do that one, drink yourself to sleep. I got a lot of
energy. I mean, it worked somewhat until I was just so incredibly uncomfortable in the plane that I just my tailbone was just like throbbing. And could not sleep anymore. But I probably got at least 5 hours of sleep on the plane, which
is not bad. Not bad at all.
Landed. Took the train to out of Heathrow. Got on the tube. Took that to a train station. Got on another train up to Birmingham. I'm like switching around, trying to figure all this stuff out.
Very cosmopolitan of you.
Right. Well, I'm trying to get out into the country. And some people have been telling me, some Brits that I know, about the accents. They were like, oh, you have to tell me what you think of the accents. And they're kind of like chuckling as they said it.
Like the southern accents of...
Very distinct, I think very maybe working class accents there.
So like maybe like...
Not at all like, posh, as I was told.
Sure, like the Chicago accent maybe is what these guys have. The Pittsburgh kind of like the
maybe
eerie,
something like that.
The Great Lakes.
Sure, maybe
it's all up in your nose.
Yeah, I don't know the accents well enough to really be able to like pick them apart.
Just like you all sound like idiots to me.
Right, they were harder to understand up there than the people in London. I was apparently harder to understand as well because I didn't realize that I had to switch my train at Birmingham. I just thought the train went on to this town called Tipton. And so literally everybody got off the train. I sat and I was like, all right, well, everyone's getting off at Birmingham. I'm going to this small town. That doesn't seem too crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
10 minutes later, the cleaning crew comes on. And I'm like, oh, they're cleaning. I still was like, oh, they're cleaning before we... take off. And then I'm sitting there, and I actually had some trash. I was like, let me throw out this trash. And because they didn't say anything, they just went right past me. And I was like, is this train the train to Tipton? And the guy goes, what? Or something like, is this train? Does this train go to Tipton? He could not understand what I was saying. So he had to pull a friend over. And I was like, is this train going to Tipton? He's like, no, this is where this train is stopped.
That's so funny that they couldn't understand you in the land of English.
Right, yeah. So.
Got your hoagie mouth going.
Right. So, yeah, got on another train. The doors shut, I mean, like 30 seconds after I got in. I seriously almost missed the train. And then I was drinking a mild.
On the train to Tipton?
No, but they have shortly thereafter. On the trains there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's sick. Handpull on the trains. At every seat. You just pull your own.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, that's an innovation here we need.
Right. It's like, you know, pour your own. It's yeah.
You know, like the, pour your own. There were booths that had their own little, like, jukeboxes and diners. Now you got to have, like, yeah. Do you want, like, and it was, like, smoking and non-smoking. Now you have to have, like, do you want a sparkler and non-sparkler
sparkler booth non-sparkler. At the beer temper? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we stayed at a pie shop.
Of course.
And I met Mike, and Mike was with, also guest of the show, Ron Pattinson, the beer historian. So the head of R&D for Goose Island, a beer historian, and me walk into a pie shop,
and sleep there,
and slept there, and I had a steak and kidney pudding there.
Nice.
Yep. Some odd food there.
The jellied eel.
That's a London thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like the grossest food.
Oh my gosh! There was this place that was known for like jellied eel pies. I cannot think. I mean, oof. No.
I mean, I've had some really delicious eel in my life.
Japanese style.
Only in Japan. Yeah, right. Pretty much only in Japan.
Yeah.
Jellied eel does not.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. I did go to this one place in Japan where they like basically serve you this meal of like head to tail eel. Like they prepare all of it a little bit differently. It was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're doing that with jellied eel, though. They're jellying up the whole thing.
So I was at the pie shop, had some mild, went to this place that serves Batham's, which is this like legendary little, it's like cultish more than legendary. How about that?
Okay. I think that's what all of these things are probably, right?
Yeah. Very cultish, even among Brits. I think, I think most Brits have not been to this little place to have these beers, an experienced small town English pubs, and I've been to a few small town, but they were like rural near Wales. I went to this a couple pubs in this like I had never been in pubs like in this area. They looked all like they were old inns. It looked like from like Treasure Island, where like Steve Hawking's like had a place. So it was like that kind of place that had like rooms to let up above a bunch did.
Big pewter mugs of grog, and right? Ale.
Yeah, all dimple mugs. Uh-huh. I mean, all dimple mugs. These places you could get half pints. They had half pint dimple mugs.
Hell yeah!
I mean, that's a special order.
I mean, not here.
Not there, right?
Not there, yeah. Not, the storytelling was so engrossing, I felt like I was there.
You were there.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we went and had some Batham's at one of their pubs. And
that's the brewery name.
Yes, Batham's.
It's a cool name.
Yes. And, man, like, no bars in this part of the... In the Black Country, we were on Factory Road, and
Pastoral Factory Road.
No, I mean these were old factory like towns. These weren't like farming towns. Yeah, these were that's why it was called the Black Country, because I think like there was like
so much
soot in the air and stuff like that. Oof. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, these were working towns, like, stuff like that.
Gotcha. The whole thing's coming together more now.
Yeah, so, like, it wasn't like a...
Chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rust belty.
Maybe. But, like, these were small towns, too. I don't really have a good comparison, but anyway, Had the milds, very odd, and I know like they're not big at sitting at the bar in the UK, but there were no bars at these places.
Huh.
No bar. It was like a maybe one had a couple seats, but they were like little windows. Some of them literally had, I think they're called like snob windows or something. I forget. Like, obviously, I was with a historian, so he was telling me. But it was like you could literally like swing a window, a frosted window, shut or open it in front of you, so you didn't see the bartender. And this other one was like a window, and it imagine you're at the same level, but it had the same feeling like you were ordering from a food truck. You know, they're kind of like leaning out of a window while looking down at you. It was kind of the same thing, but they were like same level with you. So you're like ordering through this window, and there's a little like drip tray in front of you. And then they would go, and the hand pulls would just be like on the wall, and they would, you know, pull the.
So you wouldn't see them pulling them?
You would. You could see in the room where they were doing it. And then they would just hand them to you. And then.
Was that disappointing a little bit?
No, it was cool. Okay. It was cool. And then you would go in, and there were. I've been in like these compartmentalized British, Irish bars before, but and people are like, oh yeah, I've been in that where they have all the little rooms, right? And I was like, no, this is different. These were like rooms, floor to ceiling walls, doors, like these were different rooms, hallways in between the rooms, you know, and in each room they were always
like not little enclaves.
Yeah,
like
wallpapered, carpeted, bench seats with like padded bench seats with those short little like stools that you see in like Irish bars sometimes, and then little tables to kind of sit around. No televisions, no music, none. No music. No, the music wasn't turned off. There were no speakers. Like, so if there's other people in the room, like to me, the most disquieting scenario is it's quiet in a bar and there's like one other couple and you can both hear each other's conversations because then you're very self-conscious. So I guess they just don't care about that stuff. And then they'd have other rooms that were a little bit bigger. And like one of the things I don't love about English bars is the lighting. And this one went to 11.
Like
oh my gosh, bright. I think I was telling you, like, when we turn our lights up for, like, last call or whatever, and our lights go all the way up, our lights at the Beer Temple do not get as bright as these lights were. I mean, literally, it's not, they don't even really get close to as bright. These things were bright.
Like surgical halogen.
Well, they weren't cold, but they were bright.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a warm light, but it was very bright. A lot of old people.
Sure.
But not all. And, yeah, had a lot of... they only use sparklers. Only.
Did you tell them about your recent victory?
I did. They didn't ask for it. They didn't ask any follow-up questions.
That's pretty rude of them.
Yeah, I know. But I figured
did
that
did you bring it to show them?
Yeah.
And
I did.
They weren't like, whoa, that's the coolest thing ever.
I was hoping to get a discount. But yeah. Also,
a couple bucks.
Pints, a couple pretty cheap out in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got two Imperial pints, and it was like £7 and change, which is pretty good. I think it probably would have worked out to maybe like, I don't know, $4.50 each or something like that. That's pretty good, I think.
Would have been more before Brexit, but you know.
You know.
Pound's taking a hit.
Yeah, we went and then we went to another brewery, or we went to a brewery, did a brewery tour. I showed you the picture of the copper. It looks like something that looks like out of a Jules Verne book.
If steampunk met Edward Scissorhands, it was like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was go ahead.
It was over 100 years old. It was the original brew kettle. The fifth generation owner's family, the son or the great or whatever, how many greats there are, took us around. He was 19. Looked like he was like 17. Mm-hmm. Very sharp. Had obviously grown up doing this sort of stuff. Was very interested, especially to have Mike there. He was very interested in innovation and stuff like that.
Did you tell him about Citra hops?
I went into their hop room. But lactose? They do a lot of contract brewing, so they had a little box of Citra in there.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not as funny to other people if they haven't seen the image of this boil kettle yet.
Yeah.
Can you put that like on the as yeah. like the show?
That'll be the show
photo.
They had a box that was maybe the size of like two shoe boxes side by side for Citra.
11 pounds.
They had bags, I guess, of Fuggle that were, I think, over 6 feet tall.
So there was probably those are whole cone, probably.
They were all whole cone.
Yeah, the Citra is probably pelletized.
I don't know how much. No, I think they use all whole cone there. I think they'd been maybe doing some experiments with pellets, but
so if it's two shoe boxes, it's even less than 11 pounds if it's whole cone. Then
yeah. So that was that giant bags of Fuggle, though. I mean, the biggest bags of hops, because I've seen those like burlap brick things,
yeah.
way bigger than those.
Wow,
they were big. Yeah, Mike from Goose was like, he was like, oh yeah, these are like whatever. You can't really get them. He's like, and the son was like, they're getting harder to get here in those sizes, but they were giant. I mean, they might have been like 7 feet tall. They were giant. They're really funny. Wow.
It seems like it's so unwieldy,
right?
And it's one of those things of like, why like longer ago when you would need more manpower to move stuff, would you be more likely to make a 7 foot bale?
Probably the economics of it, you know.
Sure, I guess. I don't know. It still doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Right. So.
Maybe someone down the road made a 7 foot bag.
Yeah, I mean, they also just recently had gone away from using 50 kilo bags of malt that they would dump in.
Those are big, dude. Those are really big.
Yes. Yes.
50 kilos is
now they're down
huge.
To 25 kilo bags, which is more reasonable.
That's like standard 50 to 55 pounds.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. That was Holden's beer, and they took us through the entire range. We saw their fermenters. They fermented in mostly in squares, not the slate squares that they have in Yorkshire. I'll still have to see those someday. But and I think like infinite yeast generations. We saw them
like
top cropping. We saw them just taking a siphon. Starting the pump.
One guy was like,
yeah, basically. and then
just put it into the top of the other tank.
And it went through. We actually saw it coming first because some guy came down and like there was a hose that I guess it just connects to. And it was coming out of the ceiling and then into a drain because actually onto the floor, but it was all tile. And then it would just go into a drain. And then once it started like getting to what they wanted to, they had a big plastic bin on wheels and they just like put the hose into it, and it was just they were top cropping the yeast. It's like, oh, we'll go back up and look at the squares again, and they were just siphoning the yeast off the top through the floor, gravity fed, and I guess having it, you know, all the way instead of to the floor on that floor, having it with the floor below probably helps with, you know, the gravity, and it comes out faster. And then they would just put it in the refrigerator for a couple days until they pitched with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had it banked, but they'd never had it, like, analyzed. So they didn't know what was in their yeast.
Right.
They know where they got their yeast, but it was like they got one of their yeasts from, like, a lager brewery. They got another one from somewhere else. So,
right.
So they had a couple different yeasts.
Right. So a lot of these English beers, like people don't think about it because we think of brewing now as you use a single like, culture of an English ale yeast.
Yeah.
But a lot of these more rustic ones or even like less rustic ones are mixed cultures of different yeast. Not the way that we think of it with like Saison brewing, but there's stuff going on in there that is certainly not, and probably like Brettanomyces, because Brettanomyces tends to only live in wineries, breweries, and goat farms.
Right, right.
So there's probably some of that stuff that's just not as attenuative as some stuff that we deal with.
Or there's a strain that Mike was talking about, and I think he might have talked about on this show before, that Harvey's has, because they have had theirs analyzed, called Debramyces, which is similar, I think, to Brettanomyces, but it's technically a Saccharomyces.
Yep.
So he was saying, oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, Debramyces. Mike was saying this.
Want to hear a fun fact about Debramyces?
Sure.
There was once a Dr. Pepper bottling plant that had to get shut down because of how deeply infected it was with Debramyces.
Huh. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, you go don't go to the black country.
Go down some rabbit holes.
Well, that's not where Harvey's is. But, yeah, so then we had all their beers. You know, drier. They had a very, very nice. I mean, they had like, to me, it's like, what are these? Like, yeah, they're like, let's say they had a range of like 9 different beers. I don't think they really did a lot of cask on all of them, but like 4 of them were different types of bitters. And then they had like a mild and then a dark and then an old ale.
And how wide is their distribution for a brewery?
Tiny.
Like that? And how much do you think they're making?
Well, they bottle for other people, and they brew for other people, and they were...
Do they use their yeast when they bottle and brew for other people? Like, is it, or is it...
I think they'll do other people's yeasts. They'll pitch with other people's yeast if they want. They bottle, but they don't brew there. They just do bottling there for some people. 500 barrels a day. There. So I think that's a lot of the business.
That's a good amount
of
beer.
I think it's like 100,000 barrels or something like that a year.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah, dude. Yes.
So it can't be all be brewing that thing, that picture that you showed me.
No. I don't think all that stuff is happening there. They do some contract brewing. They do a lot of independent or third-party bottling. So I think they have a lot invested in their bottling line.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not sure how it works. We didn't really go into...
Is it all beer, or are they bottling for, like, other...
I think it's beer. Okay. Yeah. I think it's all beer.
Gotcha.
They also had... We saw these trucks rolling by, like, that were picking up the empty casks. Because I don't think they keg... I don't know if they keg... anything. I think they only put stuff into cask. They have some firkins, which is what we would know as a cask. A lot of kilderkins, which are significantly larger. And then they had full-size brewer's barrels of cask, which... For those of you who may not know, a big keg is a half barrel, but this was a full UK brewer's barrel.
I think a UK
barrel.
Brewer's barrel is even bigger, right?
It is bigger.
It was in like 52 gallons
it
or
was,
something
these
when,
things
when
were
we did the,
friggin' huge,
the questions
man.
In the last
yeah.
Jeb Beardy.
They were stupid big.
Yeah.
And
some, you were able to handle them pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. So I was whipping them around a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, I mean...
Chris is yoked. I don't know if you guys have ever seen
yeah.
it, but...
Yeah, I hide it really well.
yeah.
Really well.
Yeah.
So much so that if I try in front of you, I'm really good at pretending that I can't do it.
Yeah. You don't want to intimidate anyone.
And I'm good at pretending to injure myself, having tried to do it, all those things.
Yeah.
So
very convincing.
Yeah, very convincing. Injury. I got to go to the hospital. Got him. Tricked him again. I fake the month-long recovery and the PT and all that stuff.
You're like the Andy Kaufman of injuring
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, I just, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'm all in on the trick. Dude, these barrels were outrageously big. I took pictures, and when you're standing next to one, it doesn't look in the picture big enough. So then I found one where they were next to a firkin, and I was like, okay, this these things are giant. I'd only seen one ever at a Sam Smith, and it was just kind of like sitting there. I thought it was like a showpiece, but these were being used, and they said, yeah, some accounts only will take them. That's all they want. I guess for...
We just don't have the infrastructure for that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, it's a lot of beer to get through.
It is.
The thing, like, no CO2, yeah. You know, I mean, you gotta go through it.
So, you guys sold how many miles? 400?
400, yeah. I wonder
and
how
those
many.
Those were 60-ounce pours?
Yeah, so they would probably be doing 20-ounce pours.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I don't know how much, if we know exactly how big a British brewing barrel is, but it'd be a lot.
You went through, one of those.
One, okay.
Yeah.
So, and they said, there was a place we went to that said, yeah, like, on a Friday or Saturday night, they'd, you know, they'll go through one of them.
Holy. People would be drinking.
Well, they only have like 3 or 4 beers on often as well.
That's a good point.
So,
people still be drinking.
Yeah, I guess maybe it is also too because if you have stillage, like I think sometimes these places are like they keep them in stillage and soft spiled for like 7-11 days, like long time, way longer than we do here. They're just way better at it. I mean, they know when that thing's right. Like. Tasting really good.
And in stillage, you're losing some beer through the soft spout sometimes, right?
I think maybe a tiny bit, but I think if you do it at the right time, you shouldn't be losing a lot. And, I mean, the idea behind cask beer is that you're supposed to be getting the absolute freshest possible beer that you possibly can. Because it's just got done fermenting, and then you tap it, and it's ready to go. As soon as it's done fermenting, you tap it, and then you go.
Right, because part of the fermentation process is happening in that container.
In the cask.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the idea, is like this beer cannot be delivered to you any more fresh. It's finishing. It's not even ready yet when it's delivered, you know? So... And then it goes old and tastes like crap.
The greatest trick the brewer's devils ever pulled was selling beer to bars before it was even done.
Right.
It's a good numbers game.
Right. So we went to another place. Sarah Hughes Brewery had so at Batham's there was this like mild that people like everyone said it was Moorish. And I always thought Moorish was like M-O-O-R, and I was like, what does that mean?
It's like endearing, isn't it? Like
Moorish means like, it's a British term, and it's M-O-R-E-ish. Like, it makes you kind of want to have more. That's what Moorish means.
Right, you're endeared to it, you want more of it.
Yes.
I didn't realize, yeah. 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 I never thought about how it was spelled, but...
Yeah, it's more, M-O-R-E-ish. I want more of it.
Never thought of it as I want more of it.
That's yeah, very but funny. I think that's how it's used.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You have one, you want another one. So there was this mild that was supposed to be, I had seen it written up multiple times as Moorish, and I had it, and it is funny, and I wonder if it was, all right, so I had it, and I was like, whoa, this is like, no mild I'd ever had. Not necessarily in a good way, not necessarily in a bad way. Mike Siegel was like, I don't like it. This stuff's too sweet. And it was quite sweet. And it had like a graham cracker thing going on with it. I liked it. I then had the sweet bitter and the dry bitter. And then I think it was time for... Then we decided to leave. And
so which brewery was this?
This was at... it was from Batham's. We weren't at the brewery, but okay. It was the Batham's.
So they make a mild that's sweeter than any mild.
Yes.
That we've had. And they make a sweet bitter and a dry bitter.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Weird. Very weird.
I will say The one beer I wish I would have had another, especially out in the Black Country, had another of, was that mild.
The sweet one?
Yeah. I'll never have it again, and I want to have another one. Yeah. It was pretty outrageous.
Moorish.
It was Moorish.
More of it.
There you go. So that was interesting, and then we went to another place where the mild was stronger than the bitter. And Ron Pattinson told me that that's used to be very common, that all the milds used to be stronger than the bitters. And it is very interesting. Ron is so... this has happened multiple times with me. I've had the pleasure of hanging out with Ron Pattinson. I mean, this dude is so far down the rabbit's hole of, like, British brewing history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, even Mike Siegel's eyes glass over after enough time, you know?
Sure.
But the funny thing, I find it funny, is you, not ever, but, like, there's so many times where you ask him a question, like, so was mild more popular in these parts? And he's like, well, it depends. What are you talking about?
Right.
I don't know. Like 1800s. Well, which type of mild?
In 1854.
Right. But it's like, which type of mild? You know, because they had pale mild and dark mild. And, you know, actually, mild wasn't even a style. It was called, like, or I'm making this stuff up. It was really how a bitter was served. Was it served in the mild style? Or, you know, and it's like, all right, I just wanted to know, like, which one was more popular.
Sure.
But so it is funny. But yeah, I think actually in the 50s, like that's all people were drinking out there was mild. And now it's definitely much more bitter that they drink. And bitter just being pale ale, that's, you know, like what we would consider probably like a bitter pale ale.
Extra pale ale, like a lower ABV.
Crushed quite a few milds and bitters. Mike had to tell me, like, all right, you gotta, like, getting a little loud. I think as I drink, my decibels go up, and I think the locals weren't used to my...
You're kidding me.
Philadelphia.
Your hoagie mouth?
My hoagie mouth. My filthy hoagie mouth. And, yes. So.
Just yelling at Mike Siegel how you want to go to the Wawa.
Yeah, that's all I was talking about. This place sucks. There aren't even any Wawas in this place. Black Country. Had pork scratchings, which I think England has them, but this place, I think, is known for having good ones. And
some back.
I had another bag. I have a couple of bags. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be like chicharrones. And when you describe them, they're like, yeah, they're like fried pork skin. Like, oh, like chicharrones. They're not.
No.
They're nothing like chicharrones.
They are hard.
Yep.
Except for the fat, which is basically just like the texture of like slightly cold butter.
Yes.
Like, and it was, it's something that, like, at one point in my life, I probably like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, just like all this stuff that's bad for you. But I ate it and I was like, I can feel my heart, like it lost two weeks. I'm going to die 2 weeks earlier.
Right. Like that's funny. Mike Siegel saying the exact same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that it was a 100-gram bag. There's 60 grams of fat per bag in a 100-gram bag. 28 grams of protein, 60 grams of fat.
So that
there's not room for much else. It's tons of salt.
That's like 2 grams of sugar. Yeah, it's just
I think there's like 3 grams of salt. So like, there's not much left.
So I had some Anthony Bourdain, like No Reservations, on in the background. He went to England today. I was watching this in the background, and he like had those, and like it was just a throwaway thing where him and Nigella Lawson were at a pub drinking Guinness. And then she's like, do you like pork? What are they called? Scratchins?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I guess. And it's like, was he eating them? He's like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm like,
I saw some in London that looked closer to Chicharrones.
Yeah.
But these ones, these were like, I think these are distinct in this part of the country.
These were probably Chicharrones. They're at a place where she like was describing how like the Scotch egg has evolved from this thing when she was a kid where they would send preserved eggs from Scotland that would be off-colored, and so they would wrap them in pork, and like then they, like, so that's why the Scotch egg became a thing. But they were eating one. She's like, look at this. The yolk was all runny and stuff. So I'm guessing this is a place that like elevated, quote-unquote, elevated
in English. In London, 100%, I saw another place that had them, and they looked nothing like these things.
Yeah. These were, they're like they were little, as hard as like rocks of pork.
Imagine like they were a little harder than, for those of you out there, like, you know the little like nugget pretzels
that you get?
They're not very...
Schneiders of Hanover.
Yeah, like those. Harder than those.
Wait, yeah, much harder.
Yeah. And
but if there was like a little like nubbin of butter.
Not even glued a little. I'd say they were like, it was probably like two-thirds, one-third. Like one-third butter, two-thirds that real hard stuff.
Yeah.
And then a ton of salt. Apparently, if you look closely on some of them, it's like some of them still have like hair on them and stuff too. So there you
authentic,
go.
Authentic. Rustic. Yeah.
So I had some of those.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're in the Black Country for 2 days. Drank quite a bit of mild, quite a bit of cask beer, I should say. All on sparkler.
What's the biggest takeaway from when you were there? Like that you, something you either like didn't expect to find out or something that was like reaffirmed solidly from going to that part of the country you've never been to before of your understanding of English beer.
How about English beer culture?
Sure. Yeah.
Those bars in the country out there in that part of the country are not my thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Quiet.
They look like
bright.
Quaint. But they're just not comfortable for me.
Well, the concept of those were like that you lived in a very, very small house and that was the public, like, but it was a public space to go, like, be out of your home.
I guess.
It wasn't like here where, like, you go to a bar to, like, let's get rowdy and, like, get messed up or whatever. Like, that was, like, more as, like, a public space because you had such quaint homes.
Yeah. Maybe. Like I said, I've definitely been to like small town Scottish pubs. I've been to England before, and went to a few small towns. One very rural town, but that was kind of just like a, I don't know, just like a bar.
Yep.
These were, I think, were like out of a time capsule type thing. And
gotcha.
I have one picture. I took a picture of it. I mean, these are old. Some of these places. It was like. You know, do not try to light this with a match. Simply push the switch on the wall. This is powered by Edison Electric or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, so
probably not Edison, but
it said Edison.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it said Edison.
Edison's is distinctly American.
Yeah. I'll show you the picture.
Nice.
So had three different types of beer there. Some beautiful, I mean, these places were kept up beautifully, and pretty cool. Like a lot of them, this one place we went to, it was called, was it like the Bowl and Bladder or something? And it was where you can get Sarah Hughes brew and,
the figure skater.
Perhaps. Probably
silver,
not.
Silver medalist?
Probably not. But they had converted... They had fireplaces in all the rooms. And these had been converted, I think, to... They weren't fire anymore. I think they might have been...
Steam?
Steam or something. And then they had pipes coming out of them, running along all the... underneath all the bench seating. So, like, warming them,
heaters.
Radiating them. Yeah, underneath. Just, like, big... pipes that were just warm.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. That was cool.
Did you spend any time in England?
England? What?
Like London, sorry.
So yeah, England, then we went to London.
London. My bad.
And London pubs are awesome.
There you go.
Ugh.
You're a city boy.
I am a city boy.
But we're finding out.
Those corner London pubs are like, to me, they're the best bars in the world, I think. As like a whole.
Better than Beer Temple?
As a whole. Oh, yeah. They're better than Beer Temple.
Better than Delilah's?
Well, I mean, they're very different. I would say as a whole, those London pubs are like, they're amazing. And they're old and they're cool and they're pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to have a cooler bar than like the Churchill Arms or something like that in London. Or this little place called the Mitre. Very famous. I mean, it's like almost like a tourist stop at this point, but it's down a tiny little alley because I guess at some point it wasn't part of like sovereign England or London. It was under like a different duchy, so like they couldn't demolish it. So every other building was built around it, and they had to leave this tiny little alley to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was from the 1500s. I mean, this it was like insane. So that's really cool. And it's been a bar, and it was still packed. And that's kind of mind blowing to think that people have been like
500 plus years of
how many people? Yeah,
bar.
I mean, you're just like So, So then the London start of the trip happened. Should we refill our?
Yeah.
Our beers, and we'll talk about London. I don't know. I guess this is what this show is going to be, I guess.
This is what I imagined.
Okay. All right. So we'll be back. We'll talk about the city portion of my English trip when we come back.
And we're back. You're listening to the Beer Temple Podcast. I am your co-host, Mike Shalhoub, as was brewing, and I'm here with your co-host, Chris Quinn of the Beer Temple, recently back from his trip to England.
Mm-hmm.
We've made it back from the Black Country. Where are we now, Chris?
Well, We went to London.
And, foggy London town.
Foggy London. It rained and was cloudy pretty much the entire time. We had a little bit of sun for a bit of one day.
As inclement as that weather and depressing as the weather seems to be, it makes a lot of sense that they became one of the most aggressively expansionist civilizations
right.
of all time.
Get the heck out of here.
Get out of here.
Then the most fun part of the trip happened. We went to a few pubs in London the night we got in, and then early the next day we went out and went to the old Young Brewery, Young's Brewery, Young and Company.
Was double chocolate stout. Is that Young's?
Yeah, it might be.
Or is this a different Young and Company?
I think maybe it probably is them, but this doesn't exist anymore.
Gotcha.
So this used to be that part of London. I think it's a little bit west, like their like hometown beer, because each like even different sections of the city would have like their beer. It's like they like the Sox here, they like the Cubs here. It's like this is our local
this
beer.
Youngstown, baby.
Right, exactly. And we met up with Derek, who'd been on the podcast, the London brewer,
friend of the pod,
and
Black Eagle Brewery. Is that where he was at most recently? Is
yeah,
correct.
Uh huh. And he'd been at Truman's, mm-hmm. and he was also the last. I think the last brewer at Young as well, or maybe he was the last brewer at Truman. But anyway, he took us all around. So this had been made into like a historical brewing museum, but it was also another brewery had taken it over called Sambrook's. And they were, you know, a more modern brewery,
DDH.
but making.
Yeah, you're showing me DDH hand casks.
Yeah. But they have some draft as well. But, yeah, no. I mean, what were they making? They had a premium bitter. They had a regular bitter. They had a pale ale. And they had a porter. So those were their four casks that they had. And then the owner, I think his name was Darren, took us on a tour. And Derek quickly was just like telling us everything about it. And this place still, when he was there, still had a stable. And like they had somebody like putting like horse like shoes on horses and stuff like that when he was there. And he's like, well, that's where this was, and this is, and here's where the well, they had lost where the well was, and they found it again. It was 400 feet deep, and they had a piece of glass over it, dude. It was scary. Now, it was like bricked in for like 200 feet, and then it went in for like another 200, but I think there was like silt and stuff like that that like filtered it in from the dude. It was nuts, man. It was bananas. That's the well. I'm showing him a picture of it. It was frightening.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I have a very kind of debilitating fear of heights, and I can't imagine feeling like I'm standing on the floor and then getting like if I were to stand above this, I would feel like I'm. Like I would have that feeling of fear of heights.
It was obviously on very thick glass over it. I wouldn't stand over the glass.
Don't care.
Yeah, it was. So a huge,
terrifying.
Yeah, and they huge steam engine that was in there, and these massive coppers that they had this like weird like cutout horseshoe. Mm-hmm. They were like a horse hoof. Not like a horseshoe, but a hoof shaped
for branding, like that no. They had horses. Okay, this is just how they built them.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It wasn't because like, oh, we have horse strong carriage.
Yeah. So imagine like a dome, like a silo that you have on a farm, but then like
hand riveted.
Take like a chunk out of it. Yeah, and there was a reason for it. What the heck was the reason? I forget. There was
put the manway in it. Is it good to see in there?
No. It was for some sort of efficiency. They could put in like another layer in there, and they would actually have stages then. So they would put in a layer above it. And then as it was boiling, it would heat the liquid from the next party guile. And then when they would be done boiling it and send it out, they would drop the other one down, and it had already been heated. Well, partially heated, and it would just be more efficient. So it was like a staging tank. Why it was shaped like that, I don't quite remember. Derek was just like...
It's beautiful.
Giving so much information. Oh, yeah, all polished copper and stuff like that, so... It was pretty cool, and Derek, who's been on the show, he's like 74 or something, 73.
Spring chicken.
This guy is one of the coolest people I have ever met. This guy was so awesome.
Second after me, huh?
Yep.
Sick.
Yep. I mean, I would 100% be like, hey, do you like you, me, and Derek, the 74-year-old man, want to just go hang out and do literally anything?
Yeah.
And I am not saying this ironically. I am 100% like, yes.
I mean, even when he was on the show, he's obviously good vibes.
Yeah.
Good dude.
He was so awesome.
Yeah.
So we were with him and his son, and he took us around. So after we went there, he was like, oh, we hopped on the bus and then went... To a bar that was one of my big wants for the whole trip, because Mike did an amazing job of like planning everything out, was I want to have Tim Taylor on Cask. And he's like, all right, well, we're going to go then to the, he's like, you'll find it places, but we're going to go to the Bricklayer Arms. That is the Tim Taylor bar in London. He's like, you'll probably be, he's like, they will definitely have, Landlord. And I've missed out on Landlord on Cask like in the past when I was in the UK. And he's like, and they might have more. And when I went there, they had like all the Tim Taylors.
Like five of them, right?
Yeah. Well, they had four. They had Tim Taylor Landlord,
yep.
Tim Taylor's Landlord Dark, Tim Taylor's Dark Mild, and Tim Taylor's Boltmaker.
And Milkshake IPA.
And that's right. There were five. It was Tim Taylor's milkshake double dry hopped
mango IPA.
Mango IPA.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like Tim Taylor's classic pale ale, with the landlord, classic pale ale, 4.3%. And then they have the Bolt Maker. This is Yorkshire Bitter, 4%. So, like, you know, you have a 4.3, you got to have a 4.0 as well.
Yeah.
This is bold and malty Yorkshire Bitter, and then the classic pale ale is the landlord. It was, they were amazing. The Bolt Maker, I think I liked more than the landlord.
I don't know if I've ever had Bolt Maker.
I'd never heard of it. I've never heard of any other than the landlord.
I guess that's fair.
Yes. I was also introduced by Derek's son to pub salad because we were getting hungry. He's like, well, why don't we have another one? We'll have some pub salad here and then go on. Yeah, I was like, okay.
Pork cracklings.
And no, so he got some chips. They call them crisps. Mm. And they took the bag, that kind of like metallic bag that chips are made out of. And he opened it up so it was completely opened, like it wasn't like you're not reaching into it. He split the entire bag open, so the chips were just like sitting in the center of it. And then he got some bar peanuts, seasoned bar peanuts, and just dumped them on top. And there was pub salad, and we all just kind of picked at it. And I said, "That's an amazing phrase that I am taking back with
me." You gotta have it here.
Yeah, we probably have it on the menu, pub salad.
Yeah,
and then we'll make it that same way.
Yeah,
I mean that's.
Split the bag open, dump them on top.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So good. So then we went to classic, we went to a few other places, but we went to the White Horse, had my first ever Harvey's bitter, which was another one on the top of my
list.
That's
a dream of mine.
Was the best bitter I had in England. It was fantastic.
Because the Deborah,
mm-hmm. It was great. All the beers there were great. They kicked one of the casks, and then it took another 20 minutes, they said, to get the next one on. But they had Landlord on, so we had Landlord while we waited. And
what a disappointment.
Yeah, it was amazing. I also had... So that was great. Ran into a common friend of ours, CBSer, Stevie Hamburg was out in one, I swear to God.
Doing research.
He was there for his 70th birthday. It was his 51st trip to the UK. I believe he was at one point the cellarman or the assistant cellarman at the White Horse as well.
He was?
Yes, I think so.
I didn't know that.
So then we went to a place, I think it was called, was it the Royal Oak or somewhere that, it was a Harvey's bar. So then they had Harvey's bitter, they had an old ale, they had a mild, they would do blends for you, so you can. So we got like half mild, half bitter, which was pretty cool. That was Hamburg's suggestion. Yeah, so that's where we saw Hamburg.
Seems so blasphemous, but...
Yeah.
So you just wandered in and saw Steve
no,
Hamburg?
No, I wandered into the beer temple, and we got talking, and I said I was going to London. He said, what days? And I said, these days. He's like, I'm going to be there those days. I was like, all right, we gotta catch up.
Still very cool, but it would have been very funny if you just wandered
in. Dude, if I just
and
wandered
Hamburg,
in and saw Steve Hamburg there, I would have been like... What the F is happening right now? He is the foremost expert in Chicago and foremost expert in America. He gives the real ale portion of the Master Cicerone exam.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he does. There's this thing called Caskmark, which is a global accreditation for bars serving cask. That you have to like go through and I think get checked up on and stuff like that. And he gives a certification for the U.S. So, I mean, that's who Steve Hamburg is.
He's the quintessential cask ale
guy
in America.
And just a hysterical person. But
he's awesome.
Ran into him, had some beers with him, had some beers with friends of Mike. I'm getting my days confused a little bit. I forget what day it was. I think the day before, yeah, we had been with Derek. That was a long day. I think I had 18 pints that day. I was keeping
Imperial
track of my
pints too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we went out for cocktails.
So you're just drinking, but they're not like you're not drinking double IPAs, right? These are like 4 to 5% beers.
Yeah, some maybe
so
less than four.
Like the way your liver works, you're probably just hydrating.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been training for this.
I did then go out afterwards. Nobody else wanted to, so I just wandered around by myself late at night in London and found a late night shawarma place.
Hell yeah.
And then I was pretty banged up the next day. But then we also went to the Colonel that following day, too.
Wow. Legendary.
Yeah. I hadn't been there in 10 years. And the beers were as fantastic. I wish I could have stayed there a little bit longer.
That's
and had
kind
more beer.
That is very much an American-inspired, third wave kind of brewery, right?
But they have, their table beer is their,
Right. They do English styles and stuff, but, Evan, I think, is explicitly, inspired by American. He was, he actually has
But they're anglicized, though, as well.
Right.
I had a small pale ale there. And I think it was small pale ale with Nelson and Motueka. It was fantastic. And they did dry Irish stout, dry hopped with Mosaic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was great.
Huh. If someone had that on a menu in America, I'm not ordering it.
No, but I saw it there. I was going to get the table beer because I know I love it. And then I was like, I'm probably going to have one or two beers. This beer could be really interesting here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was. It was great.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I would love to try that.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely spend an entire day at the Colonel just drinking his beer. So he gave us a tour, and we were, we were there for a long time, but not drinking. We were just talking with him.
You weren't drinking.
Because he knows, we took a beer with us, but then we're done, and we were there for a while. So, yeah, the Colonel was really good. I wish I could have had more beers there. We went to the Royal Oak, went to the Churchill Arms, just beautiful bar, had more bitter and more. That was a Fuller's bar, so I think I had a lot of pride there, a lot of London pride. And what was it called? Cheswick Ale there as well, which is even a lower ABV than the London Pride. Had a lot of London Pride while we were there. We also went to an area called Hackney, and I visited a brewery that had just opened up called Five Points, and now they've kind of expanded, and I'd had their beer kind of around, and it was the only American-style pale ale that I had on draft. On cask. I take it back because there was another one I had as well, but it wasn't as good. This one was really good, and I gave a sip to Mike, and Mike was like, "Oh yeah, that's really good." And then he got one of them too, and we were enjoying all that stuff.
What's the genre? Was it more like modern American hops, or was it like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale but pulled through a hand pull?
No, it was more American than Sierra Nevada, maybe
more
like
more American than Sierra Nevada, more modern than Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, more
like
modern.
Citra Mosaic, probably something in that world. Yeah, versus like Cascade, Centennial.
I don't know. Yeah, it might have been like Simcoe Amarillo. It might have been like old. I don't know. Maybe it was like more older Daisy Cutter vibes.
Mm.
You know,
sure.
It was very good.
Nice.
So, yeah, pints more expensive in London. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then we went to the same little cocktail bar again and had some lagers and expensive spirits. And then, again, nobody wanted to go get shawarma with me. And this was the day that I really made a mistake. The shawarma guy knew me by then.
That's always good.
We got out. Mike left early. I was there with another friend of his. we rolled out of there at 2:30 in the morning and 2:20, and I was like, oh my gosh, this place closes at 2:30. So I was running to get to the shawarma place by myself. Like, you coming? He's like, no. I was like, all right, well.
Bye.
So I get there. He's like, well, F it, I'm getting two. So I'm double fisting shawarma on my walk back.
Are you biting one here, one there?
Yeah, it's
one
true. There. I don't know if I was going back and forth. No, I actually do know. I wasn't, because I finished one, and it was now, I think, like 2:45 in the morning, 2:50. And on the way to the hotel, lo and behold, another shawarma place. I go in, and I get a third shawarma. I ate three shawarmas at post 2:30 a.m.
And as we established earlier, you're in peak physical condition, so you just digested those things, turned into lean muscle mass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So then, yeah. Then the next day we were... boy, oh boy.
So you were golden. You woke up, no problem.
Yeah.
Rip raring to go.
Yeah, that last full day, I was a little bit, I was a little bit...
Schwarmed.
Touched. I was a little bit schwarmed.
Yeah.
A little touch and schwarm, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. But, yeah, it was great. And, you know, we were only going to, like, I think really cool places, but bar scene seemed to be pretty vibrant everywhere we went. It was a grand old time. I had a very, very nice trip.
Sounds great.
Yeah. A lot of cask. I forget how many I had. I was keeping track. I did, here that is. Yeah. So, I also went to the Houston Tap. I had a Jaipur. Let me see. How many, should I count how many Imperial pints of cask ale I had?
Absolutely.
Okay. On the 12th, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. First day there. The 13th, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Coward.
That was also that. Well, that was also the day that I was.
Is your doctor listen to the show by any chance?
Yeah, that was also the day I was at a brew pub and at a brew tour, and we went through the whole lineup. But those were in bottles. These are only cask.
Only imperial pint.
No spirits. Cask. No half pours. And I had half pours in addition to all this stuff. So when I said I went to a place and I had cocktails, this is not counting. This is full imperial pints of cask ale. There might be a few keg beers and that I'll mark. Then the next day, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Is that triple shawarma day?
So I was trying to say where I was. Churchill Arms, the White Horse. Yeah, church. And then it was called Grand Slam was the Fuller's beer that I had. Then
Grand
the other place.
Slam?
Yeah, it's called
That's
Grand Slam.
It's a very
Slam.
American name for a Fuller's beer.
Maybe it had U.S. hops in it. I don't know. The other place I just called Last Place, I had Fuller's Ordinary Bitter they had, and then
Doesn't
I
sound
had...
special at all.
Look at what would you call that beer? Verkmerd Pride? I wasn't of my right.
Fukkmrrd Pride.
Pride, and then Pride, Pride. And then...
That's got to be... Oh, I don't even know what that could be. Yeah. Actually, I was gonna think.
So then I went to the Colonel, and I had two full Imperial pints, but they were on keg. We'll count them. That's one, two.
Just breaking the rules, but all right.
Then I went to the Royal Oak and had 3, 4, 5, Pemberry, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I had 9 that day. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I had 30 in London. 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 40. I had 45 pints in, yeah.
This is for science, everyone. This is not a recommended dosage rate.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
But if you do, write us a letter about what happens.
Yeah. These were, you know. You people have nothing to fear. I'm a professional. I was not driving.
You've been building up this stamina for a long time.
Yeah, these are low alcohol beer. Oh, I will say one thing. They're at cellar temp. They're lower carbonation. You can drink them.
Just crush them.
Very fast.
Yeah.
Very fast. And you can drink them all day. And by 2 o'clock, you'll be pretty messed up. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're going to be triple-fisting shawarmas.
Right.
If you have 11, 12, yeah. 15 a day.
Yeah, so, you know.
So, biggest difference between Black Country and London pubs? Vibe? Overall vibe?
A little more, as I would say, like, Americanized a lot. So, some of them would have, like...
Do you think they're Americanized? Or there's, like...
Well, I don't know if they're Americanized, but the lighting was a little dimmer. Some would have, especially in the daytime, maybe a little music on, but others didn't. They tended to be a little bit, I don't know. They just seemed like kind of cozier and, I don't know. I just, what is the main difference? I think the lighting. And maybe they were a little, like, smaller because they were in London. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the rooms, you know.
Yeah, the little door to close while they poured your cask.
Right. No, they didn't have... There were a single room or maybe two rooms, you know, something like that. But the rooms would be, like, here. Like, when you'd go into another room, it'd be a big room. Not like this bar has, like, six small rooms in it. Like, gotcha. That was kind of weird. No sparklers. In fact, Derek was talking about like those, you know, up there where they have those damn terrible sparkler things or whatever. He's not a fan.
He was a born and raised Londoner,
son of a born and raised Londoner.
And he was being serious, right? It wasn't some sort of
100%.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
Why do they hate him so much? Just cause
I don't know.
Knocks the carbonation out of the beer.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't get into it. Ron was saying, I quite like the sparkler, and I was like, yeah, I don't mind them. You know, they certainly make the beer look very pretty.
Is Ron a Londoner?
No. He also hasn't lived in England since 1985.
Where does he live?
Oh, he lives in Amsterdam. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he lives in Amsterdam.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
ask him.
Well, we'll have to have him back on the show. I don't have his number.
I have a guess. He'll probably be back. We should have Siegel back on.
Taxes.
So, anyway.
All right.
Any other trip? Any other questions for me about London?
I don't think so. If anyone else out there has questions about Chris's trip to London.
Yeah, please. We don't have time for letters, but it's okay.
Yeah, send us an email. Electronic letter. My apologies.
Mm-hmm.
Or mail a letter to the Beer Temple.
Yeah.
And the address is?
3173 North Elston Avenue, ELSTON, Chicago, Illinois, 60618. Mm-hmm. You know what? When I got back, I think the day I got back, or the first day I was into work, I had a cask beer, so I wasn't out over casked.
I mean, it's not, those are things that aren't like, intense or cloying or things that like are overly bitter.
Yeah,
they are affable and agreeable.
Yeah.
So you're not going to like get tired of it. You might miss other things. You're not going to get tired of that.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, you know, they are better there. But we have good ones here, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, is that, it's not, and that's not bad to say. You know, it's not bad to say that, like,
England has better that, cask
that,
beer
that
than America.
Landlord on cask is better than the bitters here.
I don't know. We're probably going to get a lot of hate mail for that, Chris.
Right. And if you guys like those styles of beer, yeah, you have to go to England while it's around, man, because it's not going to be around forever.
Right.
I mean, it might be for a while.
There'll
I don't see it going anywhere.
Yeah. There'll always be some of it, right?
Yeah, but you want breweries that are, like, specializing. You don't want it to be here where it's kind of done as a novelty. I mean, it really is done as a novelty here.
Totally.
Now, it might be because we truly think it's awesome and like it and appreciate it, but these are places who, this is how they make their beer. I mean, I think Tim Taylor is very much primarily a draft brewery. I know we get the bottles here, but or we used to.
It's a cask brewery.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're a cask brewery, right? And, like, and, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, they don't bought package. They do most of their stuff on, yeah, by draft. I didn't mean the CO2. And it's all cask. I don't know how many kegs they do, if any. I didn't certainly see any. So, and how long have they been doing it? They're just going to be better at that stuff. And the cellarmen are better, too. Here's something that's interesting I found was that the Harvey's bitter that I had at the White Horse tasted better than the Harvey's bitter I had at the Harvey's pub.
And the White Horse isn't a tight house.
No. But that's the beauty of cask, you know? I mean, the same beer can just taste different.
Right.
Maybe it's a beauty, but it's also, I think, what drives breweries nuts.
Well, and it's like just like anti our understanding of capitalism, right? We're supposed to provide a consistent product that people can rely on.
Right.
But that's that also kind of sucks.
Right. Like, and the other thing is like, oh, this cask is tasting great. Well, you get to know them, and you're like, oh, this is an exceptionally good-tasting cask. You stay there, and you drink it while it's on.
It's tasting great, yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I think we have a fun show next week lined up. We got our boy Eric on. That should be a good one. So that'll be a fun time. And that's about it. Yeah, let us know what you guys are thinking. If there's anything that you want to see come back or never come back again, and yeah,
we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. So bye. Long.
What about the...
Oh. There it is. Hey,
let's go.
Kind of did it. To never be heard or seen from again, 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 again. Remember, this is what